Hello, fantasy folks. We have a lovely pocket-sized episode for you today, for you to all get your fantasy fix in the run-up to the season. It's the return of our annual pre-season predictions episode. We'll be speculating on divisional winners, Super Bowl matchups, and some bold predictions. We're also warning you against our fantasy bust picks and talking up our shiny golden fantasy MVPs. I'm Alex Sharples. I'm joined by the ever-glamorous Alex and Lewis Brindle, and this is In the Pocket Across the Pond.
Lads, happy episode 51. Last episode was episode 50. I just completely forgot to say. Happy episode 51.
Well, we're
In
all
the
about
50s.
the episode 1000. That's where we're locked in on episode
1001.
I shouldn't have mentioned it. Shouldn't have mentioned anything until episode 1000. Predictions. We're going to start off with our bust pick, the players we think are going a bit too high in fantasy football this year and aren't going to return that value. Al, start us off with yours.
Yeah, I've gone for Chris Olave this year. I'm not drafting Chris Olave anywhere. I hate the situation, the team, the quarterback, the coach. It's just all boring. Nothing excites me about this team and subsequently about this player this year. I'm not saying Olave isn't a talented guy. We certainly saw flashes his rookie season. But last season was a disappointment, rather than a disaster, based on where you drafted him, with just the 5 touchdowns really limiting those boom weeks. So far in his career, Olave's finished wide receiver 24, wide receiver 17, and he's currently being drafted on ESPN as the wide receiver 9 in the second round. Please, someone anywhere, enlighten me what has happened this offseason to this team that justifies Olave being drafted almost 10 wide receiver positions higher than he's ever finished. I'm just really uninspired by this team. I can't imagine it being any sort of fantasy goldmine. So Chris Olave is my bust pick.
Nice. Sharples.
First of all, resoundingly agree with that, Al. I don't know why his name is up there. Gives me no pleasure, this one. But I've got Saquon Barkley. When I put my rankings together, I had him at 11, and that was me trying my absolute best to imagine him not getting injured, because I like to do it without injuries. But if we're being real with Saquon, it's kind of a matter of when, not if, he goes down.
Yeah.
And also that even if we take the injuries out, yes, he's in a much better offense now. But he was the absolute head honcho in that Giants team. He was getting all the work, all the touches. He's not going to have that at the Eagles. Particularly in the red zone, even if the tush push is no more. Jalen Hurts is going to run in. He's going to be looking for AJ Brown. I think he's going to get probably managed a lot more than he ever did on the Giants in terms of his touches and his minutes. And while I think the Eagles overall will be a really good real life team, I could just see Saquon just sort of slipping away, and that's with him not getting injured. You know, add on his unbelievable injury risk. And for me, you're getting him, seeing him go back end of the first, probably early second is where he's going more consistent. I just think there's a lot safer bets around there that you could take instead of Saquon, despite the fact that he has tremendous legs.
He does have tremendous legs. That man could squat 2 double-decker buses. I've seen him do it. My bus pick, sit back, relax, lads. I'm going to try and get through this as fast as possible. It's Stefon Diggs. I don't know, I keep slagging Stefon Diggs off. It's nothing personal. Stefon Diggs was a great player. But this is year 10 for Stefon Diggs. He's going to be 31 this in season. But both those numbers point towards a decline in production. And he's being drafted 40th overall as the wide receiver 19, which is insane to me. At the minute, he's going ahead of DK Metcalf, DJ Moore, Amari Cooper, George Pickens, Zay Flowers, all guys who are projected number one targets on the team, and ahead of proven wide receiver twos like Waddle, Devonta Smith, T. Higgins. I'd have all those guys above him. And he's going a full 24 picks earlier than his teammate Tank Dell, who's going 64th overall as the wide receiver 29. So, Diggs, he's now with the Texans, a team where he's no longer the guy. But then again, you know, some people might argue that the Texans don't have a clear number one alpha wide receiver, which is, you know, what perceived to be a pretty stacked wide receiver core. To those people, if you're one of those people, I will just refer you to the three-year, $75 million contract extension that was paid to a 25-year-old Nico Collins, who just broke out last year. He's the number one wide receiver. As for the number two, might get a bit murky with Diggs and Tank Dell, but even then, Dell last season as a rookie, really promising. Before he got injured, ending his season, he was on a 17-game pace of over 1,000 yards, had an elite yards per route run at 2.4, caught 7 touchdown passes in just those, the games that he played. And, you know, Tank Dell was actually, he actually demanded more of a target share than Nico Collins when they were both on the field. So, real exciting player, chemistry of Stroud. Now he's coming into his second year, which, like we've said previously on the podcast, could see an uptick in production. I don't think a 31-year-old Stefon Diggs is going to come in and spoil that party, really. I've personally got Dell ahead of Diggs. I'd rather have him. Much more of a value than Diggs. Sure, there might not be much to go around, you know, with the three of them in Houston, but I'm saying Diggs is going to end up at the bottom of that pile. And not just because of the factors on the team, it's because historically, wide receivers over the age of 30 go into new teams and not good bets to make. Two key examples from previous years: DeAndre Hopkins last year in Tennessee, age 31, drafted as a wide receiver 21, finishes the wide receiver 30 in points per game. Julio Jones, 2021, also in Tennessee, age 32, drafted as a wide receiver 17, finished as the wide receiver 78 in points per game. I use those two examples because Hopkins and Jones were both considered among the very best in the league at the position until they weren't. Happens that quick. It could have already happened for Stefon Diggs. Both those examples are from Tennessee, so I can hear you going, yeah, but that's just that team. So here's a few older examples. Michael Crabtree to Baltimore in 2018, age 31, drafted as the wide receiver 27, finishes the wide receiver 55. Eric Decker, also Tennessee, but in 2017, age 30 season, drafted as a wide receiver 37, finishes a wide receiver 62. Andre Johnson, inductee into the Hall of Fame this year, perennial fantasy football stud with the Texans, joined the Colts in 2015, age 34, having just finished as the wide receiver 11 in 2014. He was drafted as the wide receiver 16. He finishes the wide receiver 32. Yeah, you might have some outliers like Adam Thielen last year, who were a great value, but where he was being drafted, Adam Thielen was the wide receiver 50 ADP last year. More often than not, you don't get a value here. The ADP is key, and for Diggs to be successful at where you're drafting him, Stefon Diggs needs to be a top 15 wide receiver at age 31 on a new team. Not having it. I'm not drafting him anywhere. That's my bus pick, Stefon Diggs. I hope I've convinced you.
So you don't like him very much.
I mean, I personally didn't need much convincing, but that did convince me.
Me neither.
Yeah, I drove you over the edge and just kept driving.
You did, yeah.
Didn't take my foot off the accelerator, even after we'd crashed at the bottom of the cliff.
It was Homer Simpson beating up the Krusty Burglar.
Yeah.
Division winners, lads, let's get on to the division winners. NFC North, Al?
Lions.
Sharples?
Growl, Lions.
I also have the Lions. The NFC East, I've got the Eagles. Al?
Eagles.
Sharples?
Oh, I was expecting a bit of pushback, but I also have the Eagles. I thought you two homers might just pop your heads up. No? No.
It's one of them. It's got to happen. It's now or never for the Eagles, really. With this iteration of the coaching staff, I'd say, anyway.
And the Cowboys, but you know.
Yeah, but I just, whatever. I'm not putting any pressure on the Cowboys. Even though they're going to win the Super Bowl. NFC South, Al?
Bucks.
Buccaneers, Sharples?
I went for the Falcons.
Yeah, I went for the Falcons as well. I don't know. This division as a whole doesn't really excite me. Best of a bad bunch, I'd say, really. So it could be any of them. And then NFC West, the 49ers division. In agreement, yeah?
Yeah.
I do agree. I would like to hear Al's Buccaneers rationale, though, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
I just don't think the Falcons are going to be as good as people think they're going to be. I think this division might be exactly like it was last year, in which the team who loses the least games rather than wins the most gets in, and I think that might be the Bucs. I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucs win the division with a really similar record to what they had last year.
Okay. So boring. Boring. Yeah. AFC. AFC North. I got the Ravens. Sharples?
Ravens.
Yes, Ravens is for me as well.
You were just answering
Ravens
for Sharples because you
well.
Knew. I'm throwing it to different people each time. Just stay on your toes.
Yeah, okay.
We all got the Ravens, though. AFC East is interesting. Sharples, who have you got?
My heart's picked this one, boys.
Yeah.
It's the Jets.
The Jets, okay. Al?
I don't think it is very interesting. I think it's obviously the Bills.
I think it's interesting purely because I've got the Dolphins. So that's why it's interesting. The first one that all three of us have disagreed. Good teams. It's not going to be the Patriots. Let's just draw a line at that. Yeah, three teams who you could have a real argument are going to win it. AFC South, I have the Texans. Al?
I've got the Texans as well.
Sharples?
Same.
Yeah, and then AFC West, Chiefs?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs, I think they win it, and it's the easiest they've won it in a long, long time. Obviously, the Chargers in a bit of a transition year. I feel like this might be, like I said, the easiest division Mahomes has ever had.
Yeah, probably agree. Probably going to walk it. So we said our division winners, but who do we think is going to win? What do we think the Super Bowl is going to be? Who's going to beat who, Sharples?
Well, this is going to overlap with my bold prediction, but I think it's going to be the Texans against the Eagles in the Super Bowl, and I think the Eagles beat the Texans.
That is spicy, but I like it. Nice.
Wow.
Okay.
Nice.
I'd love to see that. Would completely love to see that. Al, what about you?
I'm going to go for a team that is just a bit further down the line than the Texans. And I'm going for a Lions win over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I think the Chiefs get back. But three-peat, impossible. And the Lions kind of really come of age and they win the big one. And everyone high fives.
Well, I'm similar thinking to you, Al, but the opposite. I've got the Chiefs to beat the Lions. And purely because the three-peat, well, they've done the hard part. They've won two. What's one more? They've already won two.
Yeah.
So you only try, half as hard as you did for the last two seasons. Just got to win one.
That's true.
So it works. Yeah, I've got the Chiefs to beat the Lions. Boring. Very boring. But we were alluding to a bold prediction, the Sharples.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give it us?
Yeah, I think that my bold prediction is that the Texans are going to make it to the Super Bowl. I think going back to what Al said about the Chiefs having the easiest year possibly this year because of the weakness of their division, which I thoroughly agree with, I think the Chiefs this year will sleepwalk to the playoffs. Okay. Probably not really have to get out of fifth gear in the regular season. And I just feel like someone might just catch them with a punch in the playoffs. And yeah, and for the team I've gone for is the Texans. They're in that sort of golden period with an unbelievable quarterback who's being paid like a peasant quarterback. And they've done their best to try and capitalize on it. Obviously, they've gone out and spent money on Diggs. They've brought in Danielle Hunter on the defensive side. And yeah, I just think, you know, they've got a puncher's chance. They catch the Chiefs on the right day and they find themselves in the Super Bowl. So I know it's bold, but yeah, that's what I've gone for. I believe in CJ Stroud. I believe in the team and the coaching staff. So why not?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I do like it. I do. It is bold because you've got them going sort of almost all the way. But yeah, Al, your bold prediction.
Gone for a more of a fantasy related one. My bold prediction is that Caleb Williams of the Chicago Bears will support two top 24 wide receivers this year.
Wow.
in my logic, so the Bears to have two top 24 wide receivers, Williams to support those. So I just think if I'm commenting on just a few factors that I've gone through, the system, so new offensive coordinator Shane Waldron, who Jackson Smith and Jigba says is a great guy. he's coming over from Seattle where his offense supported a wide receiver 15 and 16 finish from Lockett and Metcalf in 2021 and a wide receiver 13 and 14 finish the following year in 2022. So he has an offense with a proven track record of supporting two successful fantasy wide receivers. Let's move on to Caleb Williams. He's coming into the league as one of the most talented rookie quarterbacks we've ever seen. Just go and look at his college tape if you don't know already. The dude is unbelievable. If anyone could have a standout rookie quarterback season, I think it's going to be Williams. You know, don't forget, we might be viewing rookie quarterback seasons pretty differently after what Stroud did last year. You know, that this idea of them being viable for fantasy, it really can be an option and it can come true. He's at the very least on paper in a fantastic position weapons wise, and don't worry about their offensive line being middle of the pack because Williams absolutely thrives when he's scrambling. Onto the first of those two future top 24 wide receivers, DJ Moore. Okay. Talking about the wide receiver six from last year with Justin Fields throwing him the ball for a season. Justin Fields is not good at football. Case closed. Maybe this is the most surprising one, though. I think the second top 24 wide receiver for the Bears is going to be Romeo Dunze.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen, I'm saying it right now, he's washed.
Keenan, all I'll say is Keenan Allen, refer to my diatribe on Stephon Diggs.
Yeah. I know it's the preseason, but just go and look at what he looks like out there. It's a nice viewing. Someone was saying something on a different podcast about some Chicago deep dish pizzas. I don't know. I can't possibly comment on that.
He likes it Chicago style.
Maybe one too many. But Romeo Dunze, he was one of my favourite players in the draft this year. He's big, he's strong, quick, explosive, contested catch monster, just an excellent wide receiver with great technique and ball skills. He's also developing some great chemistry with Caleb Williams, having worked out even before the draft. And, you know, we've been hearing a lot about Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, but don't forget, along with Odunze, those three guys were so close, talent-wise, coming into the draft that the fantasy position and ADP really just depended on the situation that they were drafted into. And I think we're seeing that with the current ADP. You know, Harrison in the best, almost clear position for fantasy success. I prefer Odunze to Nabers just because I think he's going to be on a far better offense. So yeah, two top 24 wide receivers from the Bears.
That is spicy, to be honest, mate. But fair enough.
Who a lot of talent there, though. An awful lot of talent there is all I'm saying. It's like, it's one of those where I know it's really spicy, but these are three really good players that we're talking about. So
yeah, yeah. My bold prediction, I've got to apologise to Alex Sharples for this one. And it gives me no pleasure. I mean, no, that's a lie. It gives me a lot of pleasure. So that my bold prediction is that the New York Jets are going to miss the playoffs and subsequently Aaron Rodgers is going to retire. A lot of hype coming in for the New York Jets. They are currently 10th or 11th in terms of Super Bowl odds, which sure might not be a lot, but that's well in, you know, top half of the league, and that would mean the surefire for the playoffs. I don't know. I don't really know. I think there's something to be said for Aaron Rodgers not playing football for a whole year. This team, it's got such pressure on it, Robert Saleh as well, and they're in such a stacked, not only division, but conference. I just see the Jets as the easiest team to look at and think, yeah, they're the ones who are going to miss out. And then subsequently, it's also partly me thinking Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be as good this year. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers, the man, can handle that. And I think he'll just jump ship and retire. Not wishful thinking, I promise. But that's my bold prediction.
Nice.
How do you feel about that, Very Shackles? Nice.
I like that.
I think you're right that if they do miss out on the playoff, Rodgers will go. But unfortunately, they are going to win the Super Bowl. So that's just it.
Well, one of us is going to be right, mate. They're either not going to make it or they're going to win it all. No in between.
Very true.
Let's get on. Main event. Our fantasy MVP. The guys who we love more than anyone this year in fantasy football, in terms of where they're being drafted, we just think they're the best values you can find. Sharples, I'm going to throw it straight over to you. Give us your fantasy MVP for 2024.
Yep. So piggybacking off what I was talking about in the rankings episode, I'm going for the guy who I think is going to finish as the running back two, because unfortunately he's not Christian McCaffrey. But yeah, Kyren Williams, running back for the Rams. Seeing him go in middle of round two, that's where it seems to be going on average. And I just think, you know, based on last year, the sheer volume he was getting of not only rushing touches, but also receiving work. And again, I said it previously, but he finishes RB7 with only playing 13 games, I want to say. I just think he's maybe not quite as dynamic as a Breece Hall or a Bijan Robinson, but I just think for the sheer amount of work he's going to get, I think McVay trusts him. We've said that McVay likes a bell cow back. I don't see Blake Corum really doing too much damage into it. And although I might be too much of a coward myself to go against ADP convention and draft him in the RB2 spot, I really think that he's going to finish there. Not quite at McCaffrey's level, but just to touch off it. And yeah, I think in the way you're getting him in the second round, if you finish there, then it'd be similar to, well, maybe not quite CeeDee Lamb last year. I got him at the back end of the second. He was the wide receiver one by a mile. So maybe not quite that much. But yeah, I just think he's got so much potential. And we've seen it last year. He just needs to stay on the field for 17 games. But yeah, super high on Kyren. Yeah, Kyren Williams.
Kyren, love it. I do love Kyren as well this year. Yeah. Agree with pretty much everything you said there. Mm-hmm. I'm going to springboard off that because I've also got a running back as my fantasy MVP. He's a running back who actually falls within the traditional running back dead zone between rounds 3 and 6. That being said, let me just preface, don't think it's as simple as that this year, so I don't think this take is, you know, like spicy, where it's like, oh, you're picking a dead zone. No. There's like a notable trend in recent years towards running backs being drafted much later than they were in previous years. You know, guys who would be being drafted in, you know, round two are now dropping as late as the fourth. And there's more of an emphasis on wide receivers now. I mean, think about when we were first drafting, you know, 6, 7, 8 years ago or whatever, how many running backs were taken in that first round, and now look how many wide receivers are going there. So that's actually, if you look at it now, it's sort of pushed the dead zone back a bit, and you are finding decent value in rounds 3 and 4. And that's exactly where you're getting my MVP, pick 36, going as the running back 12, James Cook of the Buffalo Bills. Let's just have a look at the actions of the Bills recently. They started 5-5 last year, fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey, hired Joe Brady, subsequently went 6-1, shifting from sort of Dorsey's pass-heavy approach and balancing it out with more focus on the running game. They lose in the playoffs to the Chiefs. What else is new? Blah, blah, blah. Then in the offseason, they let Stephon Diggs go. They let Gabe Davis go. They didn't look to sign any notable wide receivers in free agency. Not that there were any, I'll be honest. And instead opting to draft a decent prospect in Keon Coleman and then pick up sort of gadgety wide receiver Curtis Samuel, who Joe Brady has history with in Carolina. The team's telling us its identity through these actions. It's obviously not hero ball anymore. Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs through the air. It's going to be more on the ground, more controlled, with James Cook being much more of a focal point. Of course, still with some game-breaking dynamic plays from Josh Allen. James Cook might be a bit undersized than the traditional bell cow running back, but he and Joe Brady have both spoken about being confident in his ability to handle the workload that he's going to be handed this season. And when I say bell cow, I mean bell cow. His main competition for touches is rookie Ray Davis, who might snipe a couple of goal line touchdowns here and there, but this is Cook's backfield. You also don't have anyone behind him that projects to take the receiving work from him. That phase of play is also James Cook's. It's a massive reason why I'm so high on him. The Bills, they've got 241 vacated targets just from Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis alone. As I mentioned, Coleman's come in, Samuel's come in. We expect Don Kincaid to be more involved as well. But often, those vacated targets go to the running back. I mean, Cook already saw 54 targets last year, which was more than his rookie year. So it would have been reasonable to project him with more targets this year, even if they didn't get rid of Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. So getting rid of those guys, that just confirms to me that he's going to be more involved in that phase of the game. And that's how offensive coordinator Joe Brady has utilised his running backs in the past. In Carolina, he was there 2 years. Unfortunately, it was the 2 years that Christian McCaffrey was injured a lot of the time there. So he only played 10 games with Christian McCaffrey across both seasons. But even in those games, McCaffrey averaged 6 targets a game. And the guys who filled in from McCaffrey, Mike Davis in 2020, 4.7 targets a game. Chuba Hubbard in the games that he filled in for McCaffrey in 2021, 4 targets a game. This is how Brady likes to use his running back. Showed that in 7 games last season as the Bills OC, which was one hell of a taste of what James Cook could be in those final 7 games. James Cook, 20 receptions, 223 receiving yards, 3 receiving touchdowns. He'd only had 2 receiving touchdowns in the 27 previous games. I mean, that's along with, in those 7 games, work on the ground totaling 25 carries, 20 carries, 17 carries, 16 carries. The usage is going to be across the board for James Cook. And that's with a lack of a clear number one target on this team. I don't think it's unreasonable that by the end of the year, James Cook's a top 3 target on the Bills. Like, that's the level I think he can be at. This offense is going to run through Josh Allen and James Cook. With those two guys, after Allen, Cook is the next best and most important offensive player on a Bills team that is projected to be top 5 in scoring. Give me all that you got. I think James Cook could be an absolute game breaker this season. Al?
Yeah, so in terms of fantasy MVP, I was picking between 2 different wide receivers. I do really love Jalen Waddle this year, but I wanted to pick a guy that I think has has a chance to finish as a wide receiver one, and I don't think Jalen Waddle does, but I do think AJ Brown of the Philadelphia Eagles does. You mentioned it in the episode earlier this week, Lou, but let's remind ourselves of that insane pace that Brown was on at the beginning of last season. After two, you know, okay games, we had six straight games of at least 125 receiving yards. Devonta Smith is a really good wide receiver, but clearly Brown's the alpha here. We saw those flashes then of a CeeDee Lamb-esque season potential from Brown. I just can't get it out of my head. The wheels fell off a bit for the Eagles. It impacted the whole team. And like you, Lou, I'm banking on them kind of really digging it out, backs to the wall, and kind of proving people wrong this year, giving it everything this year in every game, and kind of getting back to that fluid, really... really a relentless offense of a couple of years ago. They've got Kellen Moore in as the new offensive coordinator. He's overseen some really productive passing offenses in the past few years. And when they're firing on all cylinders, this Eagles offense, the talent is really overwhelming. And, you know, that's mainly AJ Brown for me. He's been dominating in camp. There was talk earlier in the offseason that he's going to be used in an even more dynamic way. And like I said, you saw that period of games last year, the potential of the player that you can get here. You know, it's a pretty high draft pick, but I think it's worth it for a player that I think could finish wide receiver one. I would not be surprised if he finishes wide receiver one. So yeah, a bit like last year, my pick was Amon-Ra Brown because I thought he was going to finish wide receiver one with a million receptions. I wouldn't be surprised if AJ Brown leads the league in receptions this year, and that will be what takes him to the kind of really upper echelon of wide receivers.
Nice. Yeah, I like that. We've all got guys there who we just think are going to completely win your league for you, I think. But I think that'll do us. Nice and short and sweet, this one. We just wanted to come in here early and give you the script for this upcoming season, just between us lot, all right? But lads, that's it. Episode 51 done. The next episode,
hey. We're
going to be back with projection beers. We forget about it for the new season. Well, excited.
Can't wait.
Very, very excited.
Can't wait.
Yeah, that'll be next week in preparation for the first week of the NFL season. We hope you're going to join us along all year once again. Mm-hmm. I'm super duper excited. Ugh.
Yeah, we've got some good things planned.
Jacuzzi of concern? but we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for listening.
Yep.
We will see you in week one prep.
See ya.
See ya.